Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, building a household of faith on a foundation of grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information. Thank you.
Really refreshing and good this weekend to be able to be taught and listen some. And I've sat with my wife in preaching this morning for the first time in a way long time, so that was a lot of fun. So it was good to have Phil with us. Be in prayer for him as he's going back today and traveling and getting back to Memphis and all the stuff, responsibilities they've got there. Phil wanted me to just again to encourage you and let you know how much he had enjoyed being with us this weekend and how much he was encouraged by the time that he spent together with you guys over the weekend and the interactions he had with you. And he wants us to be much encouraged. So I'm thankful for that time that we've had together. Let's pray and thank God for an opportunity to continue, and we'll think together from the Scriptures. Oh God, we do thank you. Stir our hearts, oh God, towards gratefulness by the preaching that we've heard this morning and the consideration that there is nothing greater that you can do for us than you have provided for us in not sparing your own Son. Thank you, O God, that you have given him to us not just as an example, not just as one who points the way, but as one who is the way, the one who has removed from us your wrath and who has given to us perfect righteousness. Teach us to be a people who meditate on the cross of Christ and meditate on his person and his work on our behalf and use it, O God, as a foundation of strength and encouragement and faithfulness and steadfastness in our own hearts. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look there together for a couple of moments and I guess held captive by the holiday weekend approaching, we want to think about thankfulness and consider some things about cultivating thankfulness. And I am not prone to, what do you call these things, acronyms? Acrostics, thank you. What is an acronym? Okay, like NASA. This is an acrostic then. Thank you, Tim. So I'm going to give you some things that you can think about the word thanks in terms of cultivating. And I might even give you an onomatopoeia somewhere along the way. Just kidding. To prove that I know another big word that I don't know what it means. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days, and if we can stop for a minute, I hope that we can be in agreement that we live in the last days. He's not talking about something that's yet to come. I'm convinced that he's talking about now, because the New Testament consistently breaks time up in this age and the age to come. And so while these days may not be as fundamentally difficult or hard or something as days that are to come, I think we live in that age. And so this speaks to a time in which we live. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Now, within that list, nestled kind of in the center of it, is the quality of ungratefulness. And you'll notice that it is listed amongst some pretty heinous kinds of things, which by association makes it, I believe, a particularly heinous thing, ungratefulness. It's coupled with things that are representative of being self-centered, and in fact, lovers of self, lovers of things, lovers of money, people who can't be satisfied. They're unappeasable. You can't. You know, we used to sometimes have a child who would wake up in the middle of the night. Mary Carol's just grinning at me. They never know which one of us is he going to talk about today. And usually, if it's bad, I ask their permission. Usually, but this child would wake up, and this child would be almost unappeasable. It was just like there was nothing you could do to satisfy this child. That's kind of the picture. We would have to just really be patient and take some time, and, you know, give them time to get past the unappeasableness, you know, to get over the hump, to even address what the issue was. And so that's kind of that picture. There's no way to satisfy. And they're attacking and slanderous, out of control. And their idolatries are clear. And then in particular, in that phrase, in the last part of verse 4, a lover of pleasure rather than a lover of God. So they're idolatrous at their core. That's what people are. And it produces the difficulty that he speaks of. There will come times of difficulty because people will be like this. And so in their relationships with people, in their interactions, in their society that they create as a result of those things, that this is a difficult day. I'm not saying that at the heart or the cause of all this is ungratefulness, but ungratefulness is certainly grouped together with all these things. And so since we think about Thanksgiving, I wanted us to think about how to battle against that. Remember what Paul does at the beginning of almost every letter. He expresses thanks in some form. The only one really that he doesn't do it is in Galatians, where he basically says, God is great and awesome, and what's wrong with you? And just goes right to the heart. And why don't you love Christ like you used to? But in the rest of them, he says, I thank God for you. I thank God for the fellowship in the gospel. I thank God for your faithfulness. I thank God for your gifts. I thank God for what you're doing in encouraging others. So he does that in 1 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and in Philemon. And so this becomes a big deal, to be able to be a people who are characterized by thankfulness and gratefulness. And before we get into this, I want to talk for just a few moments together about why this is such a big deal. As the Scriptures have called us, for instance, in Psalm 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless His name. Why is it that God commands that? Why is it that God calls us to be people who are thankful and grateful? Why is it such a big deal? And why does He put such a value on that? Well, in the reality of our hearts, we don't have a lot of trouble being authentic with God. Usually as we come to Him, we're belching forth requests. We cry out to Him. We say, God, I'm unhappy, or I'm unsatisfied, or God, give me this, or I need that. We don't have a problem being expressive in terms of our hearts, but it seems that we do have a problem being thankful. And a couple of reasons that it's important to cultivate that are these. First of all, thankfulness makes God bigger in my eyes. Psalm 69, verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. I'll exalt Him. I will make Him bigger. I will raise Him up with thanksgiving, with thankfulness. Gratefulness maximizes who and what God is. It makes His person glorious in terms of recognition. And so a simple question for us as we contemplate these kinds of things is this. Am I grateful? Am I aware? And am I grateful for all that God has done and all that God gives? And a significant hindrance to our gratefulness in America in general is the amount of stuff that we have and the amount of prosperity that we enjoy. And, you know, I don't want to go into comparisons between who has this and that and the other, and we all have different amounts of things. But in general, in America, we have much in comparison to the rest of the world. And so that's a blessing and a wonderful thing to have comforts, but sometimes those can get in the way of recognizing the goodness of God. And so I want to encourage you as God's people to see the blessings and the things that you have and what God has given as like post-it notes. I think C.J. Mahaney talks about this in his little book on humility. See the things that happen through the day as post-it notes that God puts up everywhere as a reminder to you of His goodness and His provision. The fact that you have something to eat, or the fact that you have some clothes to wear, or that the sun has come up in the sky, and some of those kinds of things are calls for us to be thankful for His grace and what He's given us. Now, that doesn't erase some of the other lacks and things like that, but we do need to cultivate a gratefulness for what God is doing and has done. At the bottom, or perhaps, you know, as the foundation of this principle, or maybe at the pinnacle of that, is this. Are you overflowing? Do you find your heart gushing with a sense of thankfulness that God has solved your most significant problem if you're in Christ today? Every one of us faces challenges, difficulties, obstacles in our homes, in our job, in our culture, and society, and all that kind of stuff. But are you gushing with thankfulness that God has solved your most significant problem in Christ, in redeeming you? And if you are in Christ, does that thankfulness capture you? And as I was listening to Phil preach today, and I thought, you know, as preachers in the pulpit, when we start talking about stuff, we can get excited. And at one point, when he was talking about the provision of Christ and the removal of God's wrath and placing it on Christ, I thought, why don't we all say glory or something? And I don't know if that's because we've created a culture of silence. And it's funny, since Walt's not here today, Walt's my black friend who comes to church here, and we meet every week to eat and pray and read the Bible and stuff. And Walt said, is it okay to say anything in your church? You know, because in his culture, he's used to people just talking to the preacher the whole time and somebody playing the organ and stuff. And I, you know, but so it's really weird to him to come to church here and nobody says boo. And I'm not advocating necessarily the organ and stuff, you know, and a constant conversation with the preacher necessarily. But I was honestly sitting here wondering about my own heart. How can you sit here silent when this kind of thing is being expounded? And I, in my heart, I was going, glory, that's wonderful. And I want to officially, pastorally give you the permission to say, glory, thanks be to God. Amen. God is good. Thank you. You know, to express verbally those kinds of things, as because I think that God, as God is exalted, that thankfulness makes Him even bigger. Well, let's go on. I'm sorry. Oh, amen. Who's talking while I'm talking? Oh, mercy. Let me ask you just a second to talk back to me, not rhetorically even, but what are some of the biggest challenges that face you every day? And I'm not asking you necessarily to be specific or to unearth your whole heart, but generally maybe, what are some of the big challenges that you face day to day? Yeah, talk loud. Interpersonal conflicts. Okay, yeah. Sorry? Being content. The laundry. Amen. Multitasking. Lots of different things at one time. Yeah, it's coming at us. Meaningful personal devotions, quiet time. Yeah. Okay. Balancing. Dealing with fear. Yeah. Remembering God, being conscious. Yeah. Okay. Thankfulness. This is going to sound really weird, but as we think about all those things and our neediness, thankfulness makes me aware of my needs. And it's I guess we're kind of thinking about this almost in a circuitous way, but we want to bring those things to mind because it reminds us that the end of those things is not found in myself necessarily. Certainly, I can't say, okay, God, I'm very thankful for the laundry, and it gets done some way. We still have to put it in and do it and all those kinds of things. But expressing thanks to God makes us remember that we need His grace in every aspect of life. So the first thing was thankfulness makes God bigger. The second thing is that the reason this is important is that thankfulness makes me aware of how much we need God in those things. In everything that gets done and accomplished today, what we have and what we do doesn't come forth necessarily out of us. 1 Corinthians 4:7, remember, says, what do you have that has not been given to you? And if it's been given to you, why do you act as if it wasn't given to you? So there's this thankfulness out of all these things reminds us that God is the one who provides for us. It opens our eyes to His provision and to the fact that we desperately need Him to provide grace for interpersonal conflicts, grace to love our spouses and our children, to obey our parents, to work hard, to be faithful, to be diligent, and to just do the tasks that are the mundane. You know, the mundane sometimes just chips away at you, doesn't it? It just wears you down like Chinese water torture or something. And so we need God's grace to help us in those things. And that's the way that God wants us to come to Him, to come needy. The sign out by the street says that we're to give thanks in every circumstance, and that's based on 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And so that's essentially what we're talking about, is learning to be thankful in every circumstance. So let's talk some more about cultivating a grateful heart. And the reason I say cultivating a grateful heart or a thankful heart is that thankfulness doesn't come naturally. Our hearts are naturally ungrateful or demanding, self-centered, always wanting more, and often never satisfied for lots of different reasons. It's like sewage flowing through a pipe that breaks open and spews out. And the answer to that is not to put a patch on the pipe, but to deal with what's on the inside of it, you know, to try to address what's flowing through the pipe. And so the gospel of Christ is the antidote, the thing that speaks to those issues that are going on in our hearts. And so we want to kind of try to wrestle through that, remembering that it's the gospel of Christ that is transforming us, that's brought us to life. And the scripture speaks to that when it says, such were some of you. In these things you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you put them away. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, or verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So here are some encouragements, I hope, for thinking about this and practical kinds of heart applications. The first, the T in thanks, I should use a different color so that it looks different. First word to be thinking about is your talk. There are many places in the scriptures that speak to the importance of our words and what kinds of things we say. I'm going to rattle through some passages for you. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, the prayer of the psalmist there is, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 22, verse 1, speaks to the words of our groaning. Psalm 36:3, the words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and do good. Psalm 49, verse 3, my heart will speak words of wisdom. And so the point that I'm trying to make here is that our words can be wise words. They can be groaning words. They can be words of wickedness. They can be deceitful words. And so an important aspect of our lives is, you know, what kinds of things are we saying? In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 and following, is the situation where the Ark of the Covenant has been brought back to the people of Israel, and David's going to bring it home. And the presence of the Lord in a real sense is being restored to the people. And in that situation, David appoints some men to be singers and to lead in the procession of bringing the ark back home. And this is what they sing. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. And so, this is going to seem kind of silly probably, but in our singing, in the way that we sing and in what we sing, there ought to be thankfulness and exuberance and joyfulness about that as a part at least of our singing. I want to encourage you in the way that we sing together here. When I hear you and when I stand up here and I see your faces responsive, that encourages me. And I think that's a part of what Colossians is talking about when it says, sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That we are encouraging one another along in that. In our singing, we ought to be thankful. In the words of our prayers, there ought to be concerted efforts to think through the things that God has given to us to make provision for us. And tonight, when we meet together, I'm going to give you something that I gave to the men on the retreat that's a little booklet to help you meditate on Christ and the gospel, to give you some ways to think about the work of Christ and some scriptures to meditate on and think on so that you can, in your prayers, be thankful for what Christ has done in the gospel. So in our singing, in our praying, we ought to be thankful for God's in some specific things. And then perhaps primarily in our discussions amongst the people of God, in the way that we talk to each other, consider our conversations. And, you know, on when we talk with each other, how are you doing? What's the next thing that comes out of our mouths? Psalm 35, verse 17, there's a call here of difficulty. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. But then in verse 18, hear this turn. I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng, I will praise you. And so there's this reality of difficulty that's going on, and yet that in the trust of God and the calling out to God for provision, there's this talk amongst the congregation. I will thank you in the congregation, and in the mighty throng I will praise you. So in all our talk, let's be mindful of the ways that we're responding and talking to each other. And I'm not saying that when I say, how are you doing, and your life is falling apart, the wheels are coming off, that you go, Graham, so thankful for how everything's going lately. I'm not implying that. But could we learn to say, man, the wheels are coming off right now, and I'm dying a slow death because of this and this and this, but I'm thankful that in God's provision, I still have my life and breath, and I still have some other things, and I'm surviving, and I'm hanging in there. I haven't given up on Christ. I'm thankful for His preserving mercy. Would you pray with me and for me? There's got to be a reality. I'm not talking about surfacey chit-chat. How are you doing? I'm so thankful. I'm blessed. You know, when on the inside you're dying. We've got to get beyond that. But perhaps God would be good to help us to be thankful for all of what we're going on. And really, this is a matter, isn't it, of the heart. Oh, I dropped my marker. So that's the second word. Be consistent with my font. It's not only about our talk. Really, it's about our hearts, about attitudes. And the Scriptures say in Philippians, have this attitude or this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now know that that passage is speaking about humility and the humility of Christ. Christ humbled Himself and took on the form of man, and He didn't think that the equality with God was something to be grasped and held on to selfishly. But humility is closely associated with thankfulness. See, a lack of humility says, I deserve, I need, I want from you, you owe me. And humility is thankful. Humility is thankful for whatever and all, and gives, receives things with a sense of gratefulness. And so we want to have ask God to help us to develop a heart attitude of humility, because that's connected closely with thankfulness. We also want to develop a heart attitude of trust. Daniel, after being told he couldn't pray to his God or he would be killed, what did he do? You guys have studied through the book of Daniel. What did Daniel do after he was told no more praying? Prayed. Yeah, and I'll remind you, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says that he went to his room, got down on his knees, and prayed, giving thanks to God. And so his initial reaction to this whole thing was to thank God and to trust Him and to set his heart upon Him, not to go to God and whine. And so he trusted God. And boy, this is something that is very thorny in the Christian life. But when we reject the providence of God, we're being ungrateful. When we reject the providence of God, we're being ungrateful. And I want to be very careful again by saying I'm not talking about developing some superficial happy-go-lucky thing that everything that comes in my life I'm supposed to be cheerful about. It's much deeper than that to be able to press through the agony sometimes of heartache and difficulty and say, this has come in the providence of God. And so I thank God that He is still ruling and reigning. I thank God that even though there is heartache coming in this situation, that He is not doing this without purpose. I thank God that even though this is stretching me beyond my limits to bear it, that He is still at work, that He is not off of His throne, that He is the one who has released this from His hand. And so not only are we looking for a heart of humility, but a heart of trust, so that it clings to God and thanks Him for His providence in the midst of these things. And you can look through the Scriptures and see how the Scripture tells us that God is ruling in life and death and in disease and in natural disasters and those kinds of things. And we can't slow down to do that right now. But may God give us grace to develop this heart of humility and a heart of trust, but also, kind of thirdly, fitting in here in terms of this heart deal, is a heart of eternal kingdom focus. A heart of eternal kingdom focus. A heart of humility that submits to God's providence and is looking to the kingdom ultimately. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 and following. Hebrews 12, 25. See that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. For if they didn't escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject Him who warns from heaven. At that time His voice shook the earth, but now He has promised, yes, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. When He once shook the earth, referring back to Sinai, and the giving of the law and the trembling of the earth and the time that God spoke there, then looking forward to another time when He's going to shake the earth and there will be a removal of things that are shaken, that is, the things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So believers are actually among the things that cannot be shaken, the things that will remain. And there is a sense of thankfulness that we need to cultivate in our hearts as we look forward to the kingdom of God and all that He's establishing and what He's going to establish in the future, so that we stop looking to the things that will be shaken and removed as an end in themselves. I'm amazed at how my own heart works, and I get these emails from stores, the Mac Mall being one of them, because I've bought things, Macintosh, from them, and so somehow they have wormed their way into my email almost daily. And it's amazing how they present stuff to me, and I think that would be cool to have. There's this iPod dock thing, and a radio, and a clock, because I hate my clock at home. It doesn't work right and it doesn't make sense to me and it's hard to set. And sometimes it just resets itself. And so I'm thinking, you know, the last little piece of the puzzle to my happiness, you know, would be this new clock, which looks much better. I gave that clock to Mary Carroll, by the way, just so that she... And you love it, right? You like it a lot. Yeah. Very thankful is what she is, grateful for that. How much do you find yourself there? This is the last puzzle piece I need to my happiness, to my satisfaction. And how I pray that we could learn to have hearts that are not looking to this world to be satisfied. That we could be a people who enjoy these things as gifts and not as the end. As signposts that are pointing to the giver of all good and perfect gifts. So that heart of humility and trusting God and eternal kingdom focus is an essential part in this whole issue of being thankful, of thanks. The A in this stands for action. Mixing my fonts again. In other words, let your actions show your thankfulness. Someone said something to me recently that was really helpful in terms of thinking. He said that that the Christian life is not just about mechanical doing, but sometimes talk is cheap. And doing is the foundation on which words can rest with authority. Not authority, credibility. See, I can say I'm thankful, but I need to demonstrate thankfulness too. And that comes like in simple things like cards and notes and gifts and letters and just expressions and hugs. And I'm thankful when Kathy cooks these huge meals, so I can demonstrate that by helping clean it up at the end instead of just consuming. One of the things, here's a little tip for all the youth amongst us and children. One of the things we do when we get together with Kathy's family at Thanksgiving, and the kids love just expressing their gratefulness for all the hours of work, you know, that goes into preparation of all that food that gets consumed in, what, 17 minutes? It sounds a lot like a tornado. And then the plates are empty and there's bones laying around and half-eaten stuff. Well, then it's their pleasure and their deepest joy to clean all the dishes and wash the stuff and get the kitchen and put the leftovers away. Isn't it? Isn't it y'all's joy? And can y'all tell when children are being prepped for something? So action speaks. And perhaps one of the great pictures in the scriptures of this is the man in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 and following. He was amongst 10 lepers. And Jesus cleansed the men and this one man comes back and he's falling down at Jesus' feet in gratefulness. Or the woman who breaks open a whole cask of incredibly expensive heirloom quality perfume and pours it all over Jesus. And the goofy men around her are going, couldn't this have been sold for great profit? And she's just pouring out thankfulness, expressing appreciation. How much more loudly did that speak than if she had just walked in the room and said, thank you for what you've done. And so may God give us grace to be a people who display our thankfulness. Our talk, our words, our expressions of thankfulness, our hearts are developing attitudes of humility and trust in God that focuses on His kingdom, but also our actions demonstrate that we're thankful so that our words can take on weight. And then this is not a very biblical word, but it fits with the end. Nudge. Nudge people toward thankfulness. I'm thinking of Hebrews that calls us to provoke others to love and to good works. And so move people along towards thankfulness. Consider how you can provoke others to love and to good works. And we're going to have to kind of just race along here a little bit. But this K stands, whoops, man, I don't do this acrostic thing, Will. I'm going to put the word knowledge or know. Know God's Word. If you want to be thankful, spend time reading in God's Word, where you're constantly reminded of God's character, of God's provision, of the things that God has done, because it's in that that you begin to worship God and to exalt Him and to honor Him, so that you can, when you pray, that you can have a God's eye point of view about life and all that's going on, so that in your discussions you can talk of how God's been good to you and make provision for Him, for you. And it's in knowing God's Word and saturating in it and soaking in it and spending time in it that we begin to become more like Him and to have a reflection of gratefulness and thankfulness. Now, that doesn't mean to imply that God is grateful, because to whom would God be grateful? You know, we know that the Scriptures tell us that God doesn't have need of anything. And yet, at the same time, there's this love and appreciation for in the Godhead and that whole relationship, something of loving each other and caring for each other and all of those things. And so as we know God through knowing His Word, we become more like Him. And then this last one is a highly theological terminology. Stop whining. Thankfulness, a good step towards thankfulness and gratefulness is to stop whining. And I'll be honest with you, my kids helped me come up with that one. I was talking to them the other day. I said, I've got most of this written. I've got these other words, but I'm looking for an S word that helps me think about. And their suggestion, their contribution was, shut your whiny mouth. But I thought that seemed a little bit harsh. So we said, stop your whining. And I do think that the Scriptures are clear about that, because the Scriptures tell us to do what? Do all things what? Without grumbling and complaining. And so as you think through cultivating a heart, this takes some action, takes some work, it takes some purposefulness and intentionality, because our hearts are not naturally this way. And so by the help of God's Holy Spirit, may this week we encourage one another and challenge each other and be challenged, I guess, to develop a thankful heart, realizing that the alternative is to be ungrateful, which is grouped together with some particularly heinous sins. Now, I'd like to encourage you tonight, as we come back together this at 5:30, and we're going to vote on the budget and get that knocked out, but then we're also going to think about how we're going to think in more detail about what it means to meditate on the gospel. And I'd like for you to be considering through the day some things that you might be able to share with us. We want to come back tonight and just be together and interact and think about how God has been good, or how God's helping you to live through life right now, and to be thankful about those things together, and to spend some time praying together. So that's our goal and our agenda for the evening, and I look forward to being with you and having some relationship together. All right, let's pray together before we go. Oh God, we swim in a culture of discontent. We swim in a culture that breeds in people a lack of thankfulness, that is self-centered and self-serving and self-exalting, that is feeding us with fuel for idolatry all of the time. This is a way to combat that, to cultivate a heart that is grateful and thankful. And when we hear the Scriptures telling us in every circumstance to be thankful, Father, sometimes that causes our hearts to quake, to be honest. How in the world can we be thankful in some of the circumstances that we face? How in the world can we be thankful in the midst of conflict and sometimes grievous loss? Of course, I guess in the prayer, there is no way in this world to do it. But in Christ, Paul tells us that we can do all things. We can be full or hungry. We can be well cared for or mistreated. We can be warm. We can be cold. There are all kinds of circumstances that we face that mirror His. And so help us to trust that we too can be thankful, that we can do all these things because of Christ. And I pray for those today that might be here who are struggling deeply. And I pray that they would begin at the point of considering whether they are in Christ. When they look at difficult situations and say, I'm just not sure I can do this, perhaps they need, oh God, to be brought into union with Christ who strengthens us. Or perhaps, God, they need to be encouraged. Help us to come alongside each other for that. God, perhaps we need to repent of whining. Perhaps we need to repent of always looking for the next new thing or the next external pleasure to satisfy us. Holy Spirit of God, would You press to the very point of our hearts of our need? And then would You flood that point of need with the reminder, if You have given us Your own Son, if You have spared not the very Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of glory, how much will You not also give us all things and bless us and care for us and strengthen us in the circumstance of this day? And for this hope and encouragement, we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at the Best Western on the corner of College and University.